Our reading for this evening is easy enough to understand. The Spirit says, "Set apart Paul and Barnabas for me," and they are sent off to their work. It seems just as simple as that. And yet, even this simple passage leads us to ask, how do we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit today? And what can Paul and Barnabas teach us about following the will of God, especially in these dark and confusing times? And it is important for us to know what the voice of the Spirit is because there are so many conflicting things out there. People who claim to speak for God, and yet they do totally the opposite or say totally the opposite of someone else. Or people who say that the Spirit is leading them only to believe things that are totally contrary to God's word. And there are even people who will say that God speaks to them directly, that he tells them specifically what they are to do. Of course, we have to ask in a situation like that, how do we know that that's actually the voice of God? How do we know that it isn't just our own ideas, our own feelings? How do we know that it's not a deception, that Satan is trying to trick us to turn away from the Lord? We need to know how to hear the voice of the Spirit so that we will not be led astray. So starting in verse 2 of our reading then, let's break it down into several parts. First of all, we hear, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. So we see here in Acts chapter 13 that the church in Antioch had gathered to worship God. This was probably on a Sunday, and as they gathered, they wanted to know God's will on a very important decision that they had to make. Who were they going to send to go to Cyprus? Who did God want to go on this important work? But already seeing them gathered together like this, we see the first point. We hear the voice of the Spirit when we gather together as the church. We hear the voice of God when we are joined as the body of Christ. Because remember what Jesus promised. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Wherever the church is, Christians, there God is also among them. And whenever the church gathers together, God is also speaking to his people, just like today. And just like we see happening here in the book of Acts, they are gathered together as one, and the Spirit speaks to them. So we also should gather together as one and seek after the Lord as the one body of Christ. After all, one person may be mistaken. One person might be led astray to believe just about anything. I mean, how does one person alone know what is truly the truth? But two, together, can withstand any attack. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Whenever we gather together as the church, whenever we come together as one body in Christ, that is the first step in listening to the voice of the Spirit. Now, of course, God can speak to just one person. I mean, the Bible is filled with examples of exactly that. But even then, if we're seeking God's will for one individual person, they should still go to the church to gather together with other Christians, to talk about these things, to consider these things together so that they're able to help one another and lift each other up. And if nothing else, Christians, we are called to pray for one another. I mean, is somebody have a decision that they need to make? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Is somebody wondering what they should do with their lives? Take it to the Lord in prayer. So that even in this way, Christians, even if it's just one person, we are still gathering together as the church. We still come together to help one another in all of these things. We also see that the church in Antioch is gathered together in worship. They have come together to give thanks to God. They have come together in order to praise Him for His mighty works. They have come together to receive His precious gifts and to lift up their voices in prayer. It's the very same thing that we're doing when we gather, such as this evening. I mean, we can't really say that something is the will of God if we don't actually go to Him first, can we? I mean, even Jesus went to the Father many times in prayer, seeking to know the Father's will in that way. We see Him praying all night, for example, before He chooses the 12. We see Him praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, wondering what it was the Father's will for Him to do. In all of these things, if it was true for Jesus, how much more is it also true for us? We, as the church, should seek God's face. We should come to Him in order to know His will. Well, our verse goes on. Verse 2 again. The Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And so while the church in Antioch was gathered together, the Spirit spoke to them. Barnabas and Saul in particular were to be sent. God had chosen them for the work in Cyprus. They had received a very clear answer. But we also see here that they heard the voice of God directly. I mean, Luke tells us that there were prophets in Antioch, and God spoke through those prophets and gave them an unambiguous answer on that day. He said to them, in words that they could hear, "This is exactly what my will is." Now, the reason He did that was because of how important this work was. It wasn't just a random trip to Cyprus. It was the first major trip to go and to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul and Barnabas were being set aside as apostles. And they weren't being set aside just as apostles for Cyprus. They were being set aside as apostles for all time. So that in that sense, the work they were sent out to do on that day continues right down to us. The gospel is going out to all of the nations. What we see here is a major step, a major turning point in the history of salvation. And so it makes good sense that God would speak to them directly in this moment. Here is something that was about to change the course of the church for millennia to come. They needed to know exactly what God wanted them to do. But Christians, that doesn't mean that we need a prophet in order to know what God's will is. God is still speaking to His church. And if we want to know what His will is, one thing we can do is turn right here. We have the Scriptures. Here is the voice of the Spirit. This is God's will, written down for all ages and for all people. Whenever we hear the Bible, we are hearing God. I mean, anything else out in the world may deceive us, but the Bible never will. So if we're wondering what God's will is, we can turn right here and listen to what He has to say. And if what we are thinking or what we are planning goes against what the Bible says, we can know clearly that's not His will. God never contradicts Himself. He doesn't say something back then that He also doesn't say now. If I think that the answer is yes, when the Bible says that the answer is no, then it's not God's will. It's as simple as that. But what about those specific situations in our lives? The kind of thing where we might seek God's guidance. The kind of thing that the Bible doesn't talk about directly. A question of, should I do this or should I do that? Which way should I go in life? And so forth. What should I do then? Well, we can do the very same thing, Christians, as we see the church in Antioch doing. We bring it to the Lord in prayer, and we trust that He's going to guide us, that He will open the door and guide us on the way if it is His will. And He will also lead us to see when the door is shut. I mean, take as an example a man wondering if God wants him to be a pastor. What should he do? Well, he should go to the Lord in prayer. He should consider these things, ask for guidance from other Christians. Certainly, all of those things are important. But then there's also all of those hoops that he needs to jump through, to consider all of the work that he needs to put in, all of the careful study, all of the learning that he needs to do. All of those things are important. And then he also seeks the approval of the church. He receives a call and is finally ordained. It's a long process, to be sure, but it's long for a reason. Because if it's God's will that he be a pastor, God will open the way. God will enable him to do what it is that he needs to do all the way until the end. God will guide him through. And if it's not the case, if it's not God's will, then he will know. But when he comes to the very end of all of it, he can say for sure that this is where God wants me to be. And so it is with knowing the voice of the Spirit. If it is God's will, God will make it happen. And if it is not God's will, nothing we do is going to make it happen. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. And finally, we come then to verse 3. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Fasting and praying this time is not asking for guidance, but rather asking for God's blessing. They are asking that he would continue to lead them along the way. Because without God, we can do nothing. We need his help even when we know his will. I mean, we shouldn't ask for God's help and then forget about him, as if God was Google or something, where we asked him a question and then turned away until the next time that we needed him. No, we recognize that we need him at every step. We need him to show us the way, to guide us in that way, to strengthen us for that way, and to help us in that way. Because in him alone will we know the right way to go. And in him alone will we be able to go on that way. So do we want to know the voice of the Spirit? Then we need to turn to him in prayer, to listen to his holy word, to come together with our fellow Christians, to keep seeking after him again and again and again, and trust that he will guide us in the right way. When we do these things, Christians, God will answer us and lead us for the sake of Jesus Christ, his Son. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, who rules over all our ways and who directs all of our steps, lead us in the way that you would have us go, and teach us to trust in you, knowing that you will always do what is best. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.